good morning, everybody. I just want to say that you all look really dressed to the T, right? You're such beautiful people, and it really is a privilege for me to be here. Well, praise God. Let's just pray together before I get into the Word. Father, we thank you this morning that you have predestined this meeting.
Yes, amen.
We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose and a destiny for every person here. We thank you, Father, that you, Lord, prepare the hearts of the people. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you in the name of Jesus and ask you, mighty God, that you prepare the people and open up their ears and open up their hearts to receive this word. We pray, Father, that they will be like good soil and the word would be like good seed. Father, and that seed will be planted and not remain stagnant in the ground, but receive the life-giving water that is from your Spirit. And that by that seed, Lord, mighty trees will arise that will bear good fruit.
Yes, amen.
In and out of season.
Amen.
So we pray your blessing, Father, over us this morning and over this house.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's just give the Lord a praise offering. Yeah, hallelujah. I just love Jesus. You know, one of the things that's so excited, that excites me a lot when I have the opportunity to minister is this. I have no idea who's sitting in front of me. Quite literally, I don't know. You see, you might be the next great evangelist. You might be the next great business leader. You might be the next who knows what, because God can take you from the pit to the palace.
Come on.
Amen.
That's the God that we serve.
That's right.
I get excited about Jesus and I can't help but just want to jump. You see, friends, this morning I'd like to speak to you about your identity in Christ.
Yes, amen.
But I'd like to do it in a way that I can get you stirred and motivated. And I want to do it in a way that you can say to yourself, I report for duty. And therefore, I have appropriately titled this morning's sermon, Lionheart. Lionheart. I want you to take ownership of that word. Now, if you could turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Now, if you have a printed Bible here today, please underline this verse in the brightest color that you have at your disposal. If you're using an electronic version or an app, please highlight the verse in red. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And verse 7, it reads as follows. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, friends, I would consider it a great success if by the grace of God, I can stir and inspire you in such a way that that slumbering giant within you wakes up this morning.
Yes, amen.
Because it's there. I'd like to tell you a story, and it's actually quite funny and sad at the same time, but it really happened. A few years ago, my wife and I, we went to go and visit her parents. They stay in the Kalahari. They actually stay about 300, 400 meters from the Orange River. And between their house and the river, there's the vineyards. Now, in that area, unfortunately, there's a severe problem with alcohol abuse. And I remember this one day, it was a hot January morning. And I tell you, that place gets hot. And I remember we were in the house and suddenly we heard the dogs barking and there was a big commotion outside. And we went outside to go and see what was causing this. And as we went outside, we saw the dogs were sort of pointing toward some of the plants. And so I went there to go and inspect. And to my surprise, I found that a monitor lizard had made its way into the yard. And I'm a bit of a softy. I don't like killing animals and things like that. So I went out and I caught the lizard. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to relocate this lizard. And so here I am walking with this lizard. And as I'm walking towards the river, I just hear people cursing and swearing and going on the side of the road. And as I'm getting closer, I saw a lady. She was literally sitting on her knees and grabbing her hair by her hand, in a clenching her fist, and ramming her head into one of the little butterfly valves there, which they use for irrigation. Now, that valve is probably as big as a soccer ball. Now, she was on her knees there, taking her head and ramming it into the water, and you just hear the bubbles. And then she got up, and there were two young guys there with her, pleading with her to just stop this. And she was screaming and cursing and saying a few words that I wouldn't even dare repeat. But she had been so drunk, and she was sitting there trying to take her own life. And these guys, they all were drinking and probably had a very terrible time of, you know, indulging in sin. But now my heart goes out to these people. And I'm thinking, Lord, just help me so that I can reach out to them. And I'm walking up to them. And as I come to them and I say, what's wrong? Can I talk to you? And all three of them looked up to me like this and they jumped up and they said, oh, it's the red one. I completely forgot that I was walking with a monitor lizard. I was a big one. It was about a meter long. You know, they were scared straight. And that day, I realized that, yes, God does indeed work all things to the good. Well, I never saw them since, but hopefully that encounter taught them a lesson or two. So anyway, I relocated the monitor lizard safely to the river. Now, I share this story with you because I want to make a few points today that really I'm going to be speaking at your heart. And you have to understand my heart and where I'm coming from when I deliver this message to you. Because really, when I look at you, I see potential. And I'll put pressure on you as much as I can so that you can get that potential from potential to action. I want you to act on what you have inside of you. Live it out. Because I tell you what, we need that. We need you. So my friends, my first statement that I'd like to make is this. The biggest obstacle standing between you and your destiny is not your circumstances. It's not your background. It's not where you come from. It's not how much money you earn or what car you drive. It's not what people say or think about you. And it's not the devil. The single biggest obstacle standing between you and fulfilling your destiny is you. You see, I don't care where you come from or what you look like. I don't care what happened in your past. I am more interested in what you are going to do about your future today.
Good.
That's what excites me.
Yeah.
You see, you can be the biggest comeback since Lazarus.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
Come on. Will you reduce this message to a feel-good Sunday service? Or will you accept it and embrace this word? Go out and apply it to your life.
Yeah.
That's a real decision that lies with you. Not with me. That's your test. You see, I'm standing here not to be seen for the sake of being seen. And I'm not speaking today for the sake of being heard. I'm standing here today because I know that if I can influence you to change your mind about yourself, if I can get you to change how you think, if I can get you activated for glory, then I know that the fruit that you will bear as a result of my preaching will be the church as a whole advancing one more step.
Amen.
I hate seeing people walk with guilt and shame. I absolutely hate it. I hate seeing the crown of God's creation walking with their tails between their legs.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it when they have a look on their face, that kind of look that says, "Beat me, God, beat me." I hate that. Instead of living in victory, Christians are hammered by hell day in and day out.
Yeah.
I'd like to share this little extract from the movie Rocky Balboa. How many of you know Rocky? How many of you don't? Well, I'm not going to even attempt the accent, but as you can see, physically... You know what I mean? All right, now let's just get back to the song. Okay, let me read this for you. In the movie, there's a conversation that happens, and Rocky says the following. He says, "Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, and nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done."
That's good.
Friends, you got to take this for yourself. Do you not realize how special you are? Do you not realize how much you are loved? Do you not realize the price God paid for you to walk in perfect freedom and authority? Don't you know that in Jesus you are a child of God? That's amazing. You aren't a nobody. You are not a nobody.
Yeah.
You are a somebody because Jesus died for you.
Yes.
Do you not realize that you no longer fight for victory, but from victory?
Come on. Yeah. That's good.
Do you not realize that all things are possible for them that believe, and that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in you? If He can raise Christ from the dead, He can raise you up to stand on mountains. He can take you from the pit to the palace. He can take you from the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock. The everlasting rock. In Isaiah chapter number 40, verse 29 to 31, it is written, "He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint."
Yes. Amen.
That's you. You've got to own that scripture. You see, today is a good day to exchange that fallen face and a coward's heart for a victory dance and a lion's heart.
Yeah.
That's today for you.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Amen.
I wanted to say, if you believe that, say amen, but you beat me to it. See, for long enough, we've stood begging at the corner when we are supposed to rejoice at the altar.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Come
That's
on.
Good.
Come on. But here's the key. God's not going to do it without you. If ever there was a point where you needed to receive that, it's that. You see, He has already poured out His blessing. But many are simply too lazy to do something about it. I remember when the Lord had just called Alta and myself into the full-time ministry. And He actually gave us a date. He said, from the 1st of March 2012, you will be going out into the field as full-time evangelists. Now, at that point, we had, since 2005, been actively involved in bivocational ministry, where we would be working on the one side and doing ministry on the other. Now, when He called us and the time had arrived, we were sitting and praying together and talking about this, what God has done. Excuse me. Now, this is the time that we needed to go out full time. And as a practical thinker, I sort of had my list. And I said, Lord, if I'm going to be an evangelist, there are a few things that I need. And I said, one of the things that I really, really need is a sound system. And I prayed and I said, Lord, please bless me with a sound system. You know what God said? He said, where are you going to put it? Wow, and immediately I remember the teaching that Dr. Oral Roberts gave. And basically, I'm just going to paraphrase it. He said, there's no limit to God's ability to bless, but we limit our ability to receive by the measure of faith that we exercise in going to get the blessing.
That's right. That's good.
And he said, if you go with your little bucket, that is as much of that blessing that you can take back with you.
Yeah.
If you go with the wheelbarrow, that's the standard. If you go with a dump truck, now we're talking. And so what I did was, I went to one of the hardware shops and I took the last money that I had in my account and I went to go and buy 3 galvanized steel do-it-yourself assembly kits. Steel shelving. And there I was at home and I was going and putting these things together, but I forgot to buy some gloves and those things are sharp. So I tell you, my hands were cut badly and blood everywhere, whatever. And after I had finished assembling those shelves, I cleared out one of the rooms. Took everything out, turned it into an office, and I put the shelving in. I tell you, the moment that I did that, I don't even think it was half an hour. I got a phone call from somebody saying, you know what, we heard that you were going out into the field full time as an evangelist. What do you need? I said, well, we need a sound system, this and that. And he said, okay, I'll contribute towards that. And you know what? We ended up buying a 70,000 rand sound system. Amen. That's God's grace. That's God's favor. That's acting on your faith. I tell you what, I don't know what would have happened if I didn't go and put those shelves in. But I tell you, I'm glad I did. You see, friends, it's easy to blame others for your failures. It's easier to do that rather than owning up without giving up. If you learn from your past, you didn't really lose. But if you don't, you'll lose again.
Yeah. That's good.
You've got to stand up. You've got to look up. You've got to plan. You've got to prepare. And you've got to pray. Because success doesn't happen to you. You happen to it. Success is not an accident. I promise you that. You've got to show up if you want your breakthrough. Because praying on its own is not enough.
Yeah.
Positive thinking on its own is not enough. Positive confessions on their own are not enough.
Yes.
You have got to show up. You have got to get up. You have got to stand up. And you've got to work hard.
Amen.
Because if you can dream it, you can do it.
Yes, come on.
But it's not going to get done on its own.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says that faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
I've had many people come to me and say, it can't be done. I've encountered the haters and the naysayers. I've seen them come and I've seen them go. But I have news for them. They have been my greatest motivators.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Every time they said it's impossible, something inside of me kicked. Something inside of me woke up as God raised up a standard against it.
Amen.
Every time I heard it can't be done, I got to my quiet place, praying, walking past the mirror, and I stood confidently and said, watch this space.
Amen.
Go for it.
I'm not arrogant. I'm confident in my God.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between arrogance and confidence.
Yeah.
Maybe a little arrogant. You see, but the point that I'd like to make is this. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with who I am. It's got everything to do with who God is. That's what makes the difference. You see, I know who I am in Christ. I know that if I show up, God is already there.
Yes, amen.
I know that if I run, I'm not running alone. I know that if I stand, I'm not standing in my own strength. You've got to know that. You've got to make that your own. You've got to make that personal for yourself. That's your identity in Christ. That's who you are in Christ. I really love God, friends. You see, I know that just because I am not there yet, there is still a journey to enjoy.
Yeah.
I have a vision. I have a mission. I know where I'm going, but I am enjoying the journey. Well, today I'd like to tell you that I really want you to be successful.
Yes.
So that you can provide for your family and finance the ministry. I'll say that. Be happy. Be filled with joy so that other people can enjoy your company. Be the best you that you can be and stop being a second-hand somebody. Be on fire for Jesus because there are some dead logs that need your influence. Be passionate about your faith and proud of it so that you don't hide under the bucket when you're supposed to be a city on a hill that cannot be hidden.
Come on. That's good.
Start walking in the light and living holy and dedicated lives because our children desperately need God-fearing role models. I tell you, I know that when my daughter was young, she thought I was Iron Man. She was convinced that somewhere in my cupboard, I'm hiding my mask and my suit. She was looking up to me. I'm not saying this to sound all puffed up. I'm saying, you know what? You are your children's hero. If you don't have children yet, remember that. They don't care if you're not the biggest dad. They don't care if you don't drive the best car. You are a hero to them. They look up to you. That's why we need to lead by example.
Yeah.
Otherwise, our words will be hollow. So friends, we need to get up. We need to grow up and we need to go out to be the change that we are looking for. And we need to get to the place where we pray together. We pray in our secret place as well. You don't have to wait to Sunday to pray or let your pastor pray for you. You pray on your own. You pray by yourself. You pray at home. You pray wherever. Pray on the toilet. Pray in the car. Pray wherever. But you need to grow in your own personal relationship with the Lord.
Yes, amen.
I cannot do that for you. Pastor Martin cannot do that for you. That's personal, because Jesus is personal. Jesus died for everybody, yes, but Jesus died for you. So let Christianity be your lifestyle and not your practice.
Yeah.
Let Jesus be on your lips, not only in your heart. Because whether we'd like to acknowledge it or not, people are going to hell by the millions, and we cannot be spectators anymore.
Yeah.
Will you stand idle and watch people drown if you can launch the lifeboats and throw out the rescue lines? Would you do that? Let those who don't want to be rescued choose not to get into the boat. But I don't want to be the one who never gave them the chance to choose.
Yeah.
If ever we needed the church to show up, it's now.
Yes.
It's now.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
I know that as long as I am in Christ, I can outgrow myself.
Yep.
Because I grow in Him.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
As long as I remain in the vine, I know I will have an inflow that dramatically impacts my output. But as long as you pursue the flesh and its kicks and remain outside of Christ, this world might be the best you'll ever have.
Yes.
But in Christ, even the best that this world has to offer cannot be compared to the glory that is to come.
That's right.
I remember Kenneth E. Hagin teaching about the authority of the believer. And he said the following. Now, I'm just going to paraphrase this for the sake of the illustration. So, how many of you have ever been affected by a broken traffic light? I see that hand, brother.
Good.
Right. Now, I tell you, I am ever so grateful when the traffic officers are deployed to direct the traffic in an attempt to ease congestion and speed up the flow. Now, consider the officer. He stands there smack bang in the middle of the intersection with his reflective vest and his white gloves.
Yeah.
Right? He's pretty small and vulnerable. Yet, he's able to stop a massive truck. Is that because he is physically able to do that? If it was about his physical ability, that might be the last we'll see of him. Because his size, relative to the size of the truck or a car or whatever vehicle it might be, is a lot smaller. But you see, there is a constitution and there is an authority, a higher power. There is a law in the land that is upheld by the law enforcement system of the land, that empowers that person to stand at the intersection, raise his hand, and the drivers must obey. That is the same authority that we have through Christ. Because, you see, the Word of God is our constitution. And that constitution is protected by the law enforcement system and armies of heaven. And so when the devil comes against you and you are in Christ, it doesn't matter what you're facing, you know who you are in Christ, and you know that ultimately your destiny is glory.
Amen.
And that you can take authority because,
yes,
not because of who you are on your own, but because of who you are in Christ. You see, Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good.
Yes.
It has been said, never engage a fool on his level.
Mm.
Because he'll drag you down and beat you with experience.
Come on. That's good. That's good.
You see, I don't know a lot about you, but I know that I'm sick and tired of the world reducing the Christian experience, the Christian life, to a poor, boring, delusional, and visionless experience. I'm tired of that. That's not my Christian experience. I enjoy myself every day. Let me read this. J.R. Tolkien, he wrote the following. He said, "Living by faith includes the call to something greater than cowardly self-preservation." Wow. That one hit a few nerves. You see, today it's not about prosperity preaching or mere motivational talk, but about you living a life worthy of your calling.
Yeah.
Amen. It's about you firmly rooted in God and knowing who you are. If you don't know who you are, how will you ever get to the place where you can introduce yourself with confidence to people? How will you ever get to the place where contentment does not mean mediocrity and meekness doesn't mean weakness? How will you get to that place? You see, we are shaped and molded in so many ways. When we watch television, DVDs, read books, to name but a few, that in turn has a profound effect on the way we think. And how we think has a profound impact and influence on how we act. You see, our life experiences have a great influence on how we perceive ourselves. And let me share one more story with you. When I was about 12, 13 years old, we'd go, as a child actually, we'd normally go and visit my father. And at that time, he was staying on a farm between White River and Hazy View in Mpumalanga. Now, I remember that one of the days in that vacation, we decided we were going to go down to one of the dams to just enjoy ourselves and go for a little canoe ride. So it was myself, my one cousin, two of my cousins, in fact, my sister and one of my cousin's sons. So there were two canoes and we went down to one of the dams. And here we were having a great time. My cousin and I were at that moment busy canoeing in one of the streams. And my sister and my other cousin and his son were in another canoe in the middle of the dam. And as we were still enjoying ourselves, all of a sudden we just hear this crazy noise. And it was the hippo that got very agitated by our presence. I don't know if you've ever heard when a hippo goes crazy. I mean, that will scare you sober. And they were going on and they were out of the water. And all of a sudden, we heard my one cousin shouting, "There are hippo, there are hippo, get out, get out of the dam, get out." Because hippo, my friends, are very, very dangerous. They kill many people in Africa every year. And so that was a scary moment. And here we are, we're in this position and there's not much we can do. The water is murky, and to our left, the reeds are growing very densely. To our right, it's reeds, and it's growing very densely. And you don't know what's behind those reeds. And here we are trying to get out of this dam, and we're busy rowing, and we're rowing, and suddenly the plants that were growing on the surface were getting very thick. And here, our canoe gets stuck. I tell you, there's a different feeling that goes through your body at that moment.
Yeah.
And you know, we had to make a choice. Do we stay or do we bail? It's a risk either way. If we stay and the hippo comes out of that thickets, that's it. If we swim and there are hippo in the area. End of the story. And we decided, you know what? We're going to have to take a dive. And towards our right, there was a small clearing, like a sandbank. And we thought, that's the place. We got to swim for that. Now, it wasn't a very long swim, about 10 meters or so. And, but I tell you what, that felt like an eternity. When we jumped into the water to swim for the side, my heart was racing in my chest. And I was filled with fear because I didn't know. And all this time, those hippos were going crazy. They weren't far from us. Maybe 30 meters, 40 meters. It wasn't maybe from the one side of the church to the back. That's how close those calls and the rumbling was coming from. But because of the thickness of the overgrowth, you can't see. And so we're in the water swimming for our lives, basically. And here we get to the sandbank and we notice there's only hippo tracks everywhere. And that's the entrance that they use to get access to the dam. And we bailed and we got to one of the trees and we climbed that tree and we went as high as we could go until things calmed down so we can make an educated decision on what to do next. So I want to tell you, I know about fear. I know about fear. But I also know that God took me out of that situation and rescued me. And if He can do that for me then, He can do that for me at any time, at any moment in my life. And if He can do that for me, He can do it for you. That's the God we serve. You see, God makes the difference that enables us to be the difference. You are royalty, not just some complex chemicals fizzing about without purpose in a dog-eat-dog world. That's not who you are. You were bought at a price.
Yes.
And you are destined for glory.
Yeah, amen.
That's who you are. You see, but you can either be overcome by your circumstances or you can overcome your circumstances through Christ who gives you strength. Oh, I just love my Jesus. Friends, I would like to just finish the formalities of the sermon by quoting Zig Ziglar. He said this, failure is an event, not a person.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Failure is an event, not a person. God is able to take your mess and turn it into a message.
Yeah.
He can take your tests and turn it into a testimony. Because He is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far and beyond anything that we can think or imagine. So when I speak to you today, I address you as Lionheart. Because I know you've already made a conscious decision to take that authority, make it yours, and stand firmly rooted on the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 7 and 8 says this. And it's one of my favorite portions of scripture. It says this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. And does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green. And is not anxious in the year of drought. For it does not cease to bear fruit.
Yeah.
That's you. That's me. Now I'd like everybody, just for a moment, just bow your heads please. And I welcome everybody listening to this podcast or on CD or wherever you might be in the world to also partake in this moment. Now, if you are here this morning and you have never given your life to Jesus, you've heard my preaching, you felt stirred, and you want to be part of this very great promise that God has made available, but it's only available through Christ. And you're sitting here and you're saying, you know what, I need that, I want that. That's got to be part of my life. Now, if you are here this morning and you say, evangelist, or you say, hi, whatever, I would like to know today that if I was to die when I leave this place, I know where I'm going. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, please raise your hand. Now, if there's anybody here, you once served God, but you've sort of grown cold. And you've reached a point and a place in your life where you've allowed sin to run with you. You've allowed sin to ruin your life. And you'd like to say, you know what, I want to make right with the Lord. If there's any such a person here this morning, please raise your hand. Now, I'd like to invite the entire congregation to please stand up with me. Now, if you're listening to my preaching on whatever media or format, I invite you to please pray this prayer with us. A congregation, we're doing this together. And I want you to remember this day. If this is your first time, write down this date. Because today is a good day to be born again. And for many, all around the world, this might be the first day of the rest of their lives. The Bible says that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved.
That's true.
The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life.
Yes, amen.
The Bible says that in Jesus we can be called sons of God. In Jesus, we are no longer slaves, but sons.
Yeah, amen.
And so the confession of our faith that I would like you to partake in this morning is exactly that. It's affirming that. So as I pray, I invite you to pray with me.
Amen.
So please repeat after me. Father God.
Father God.
I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth
that Jesus Christ
died on the cross for my sins, was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I forgive everybody that has ever sinned against me. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me clean. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. And write my name in your book of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah.